A warning, this episode features dramatizations and discussions of murder and corporal punishment. Listener discretion is advised, especially for listeners under 13. Something to note, all myths have many versions and variations. For this episode, we've selected those we felt are the most dramatic and entertaining and supplemented them with additional research into Sumerian traditions. Because mythology comes from oral tradition, there's a wide variety across sources. Our myths may not always be the version you're familiar with, but we hope you'll enjoy them. The underworld shook with the sobs of its queen. Ereshkigal, goddess of death, knelt over the casket that held her husband's corpse, holding her own pregnant belly.
Gugulana, my love. If only you'd lived long enough to see the birth of our child. I'm sure he'll be strong, like his father. They called you the Bull of Heaven. And now you've joined the dead. It's all her fault.
I hate her so much.
Ereshkigal's tears dropped onto the stone casket as she ruminated on what her sister had done. Inanna had always been selfish, combative, vain, and sometimes downright vile. But she had truly outdone herself this time.
All for her ego! She sent you into battle to avenge an imagined slight. And now you're dead. I swear, if I ever get the chance, I will avenge you, my love. I swear.
Her chance would soon arrive, as Nady, gatekeeper of the underworld, approached to inform her.
Your Majesty, I apologize for my interruption, but your sister, Inanna, is standing at the gates to the underworld. She claims she'd like to pay respects to your husband.
Her respects? Let her in, for a price. I'll show her the cost of her respect.
Welcome to Mythology, a Parcast original. Every Tuesday, we present dramatic stories from ancient mythology and explore their origins. I'm your host and narrator, Vanessa Richardson. Today, we're diving into one of the defining ancient Sumerian myths of the sex goddess Inanna, who was considered one of the most beautiful but conniving deities in the Sumerian pantheon. At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. And if you enjoy today's episode, the best way to help us is to leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening. It really does help. We also now have merchandise. Head to parcast.com/merch for more information.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The myth of the goddess Inanna, her sister Ereshkigal, and her descent into the underworld dates back almost 5,000 years. It originated in Sumer, the earliest known human civilization that sprung up sometime around 3,500 BC in Mesopotamia, a region within modern-day Iraq. Sumerian religion centered around their pantheon of divinities who they believed were responsible for governing the natural and social worlds. The myths and stories that detailed their trials and tribulations were attempts to explain natural phenomena or instruct the young with moral lessons. This is exemplified in the goddess Inanna, who was not only one of the most important deities in Sumerian tradition, but also one of the most complex. Even though she was primarily the goddess of love, beauty, sex, and desire, she was also a prominent protector of justice, war, and political power. Inanna would move from conquest to conquest, sometimes using her sexual prowess to con men into giving up their fortunes, other times bankrupting cities over small grudges, and every once in a while starting wars on a whim. She craved attention, and as she realized she could use the attention of men to gain power, she began craving that as well. Inanna sat in her bed fuming about what had just happened to her. Gilgamesh, king of her own city, had spurned her sexual advances. It was tantamount to heresy for him to refuse her, the goddess of sexuality, and yet he had refused her all the same. Inanna was not a god to take such slights lightly, and as part of her divine wrath, she had forced her sister's husband, Gugulana, the bull of heaven, to descend from above and wreak havoc upon Gilgamesh and his friend Enkidu. Yet even her divine fury was rebuffed as Gilgamesh and Enkidu, mere mortals, slew the bull in combat, ripped off one of his hind legs, and threw the limb directly at her. It was a gory sign of disrespect, and their mortal insolence had gone entirely unpunished, making her powerless to defend her own honor. The goddess Ninshubur, Inanna's Sukal, her closest servant, messenger, and bodyguard, approached her.
"But, Your Grace, the gods have sent a plague, and Enkidu, the man that hurled Gugulana's leg, is now dead. What injustice still upsets you?"
"The world's injustice! How can I, the most beautiful, most beloved, most cherished goddess on all the earth, be powerless to avenge myself? Why must I turn to Gugulana, or ask the other gods their permission to enact justice against those who slight me? It simply isn't fair!"
"Your Grace, it is not my place to question you, but I am a tad confused. You are the most powerful goddess on the earth and in the heavens above. You've conquered kingdoms and broken the backs of men the world over. What is one small disgrace in a lifetime of victories?"
"One is one too many! Don't you understand? The goddess of love and all things beautiful should never suffer disrespect. Never! And yet even now, I lack the power to ensure my dignity. It's as if I have no power at all."
"Your Grace, while I do mourn with you, I have a suggestion that might make things better."
"A suggestion? What could possibly make this awful day less awful?"
"Your father guards the divine Mies. Should you not entreat him for some of their power?"
The divine Mi were the physical embodiment of culture, traditions, and ideals, both positive and negative, each being a locus of power of abstract concepts like love and wisdom, while also being the source of those things within the human realm. Inanna's father, Enki, the god of water and wisdom, protected the Mi and distributed their gifts out equally among the civilizations. To one town, he would give knowledge of the lute, to another, ambition, and to another, skills in smithing. As humans participated in these activities, the Mi themselves would grow all the more powerful, allowing their use to spread farther and wider across civilization than ever before. Only a god could take the power from the Mi and use it for their own purposes, and a god with such power could accomplish almost anything.
Ugh! You know my father, he takes the Mi's far too seriously.
It cannot hurt to ask.
I suppose. Prepare my mount!
Inanna rode from her home city of Uruk, following the river south to Eridu. She arrived at Enki's temple just as the sun was setting, its great stone doors well carved and grand. While the average man would have to knock on the temple doors, a sign of respect and deference for the god who lived inside, Inanna pushed them open impatiently.
Halt! Who dare enter uninvited?
Be still! It is I, the great Inanna.
Ah, great goddess. I welcome you to your father's home.
Inanna was greeted by her father's Sukal, Isimud, a tall, intimidating god who had two faces, one looking in each direction.
I have come to see my father. I must request something of him.
Something more than his precious time? He is busy creating the water you drink, after all.
Do not patronize me, Isimud. And if you wish to speak of drink, then I must have one of my own. Fetch my father and fetch us food, young Sukal.
As you say, great goddess.
Isimud left the main room, one of his faces forward, the other watching Inanna with a shrewd look of disapproval. Once Isimud had stepped into the next room, Inanna sat down on a couch in the center. She noticed her dress was rather low-cut. This was appropriate for her temple, as she was the goddess of sexuality, but her father would be less inclined to help her if she didn't present herself as his little girl. Inanna quickly grabbed a blanket from off the couch and wrapped it around herself, then sat down, curled up and warm, just like she would when she was young. At that moment, her father entered the room, his face serious and his long beard well-groomed. Yet when he saw her, he smiled.
Inanna, my shining star! To what do I owe the pleasure of your visit? It's not every day you travel south.
Father, I have come to see you, of course. It's been so long I thought a visit was well past due.
Every visit we have will be past due, as no day should pass without me seeing you.
You are far too kind, Father.
Yet what I say is true. Now, Isimud told me that you came with a request.
Yes, I have indeed.
You don't seem too keen on asking.
Well, it's just that I know you would be hesitant to help me.
Hesitant? To help my own daughter? Never!
Well, if that's the case, then I was wondering if you would let me have the Mi's.
What? The Mi's are from and for the humans! You would wish to take their power for your own?
They are mere humans! I am a god! Their power is mine to claim.
I disagree. I love you, Inanna, but I won't stoop so low as to relinquish my quarry. You are already the most powerful goddess alive. I see no need for you to claim this power as well.
Just as Inanna was about to protest, Isimud re-entered the room, carrying a platter full of food and a jug full of wine.
Isimud, pour me a glass. I'm going to need it.
Yes, sir, as you wish.
You're having a glass? I'm surprised you wish to stay. There's nothing here for you, after all.
Father, you are here. I'd be remiss to leave without at least a conversation. I did travel all the way down here, after all.
Well, Inanna, I would be more than happy to spend more time with you.
Isimud, pour my father a glass as well.
As you wish.
Inanna had known that her father would turn her down, but she wasn't about to leave without the power that she had come for. she would do whatever it took to acquire the divine Mies. Whatever it took. We'll learn how Inanna tricks her father after this.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
And now back to the story. Inanna, great goddess of love and sex, had asked her father Enki to grant her possession of the divine Mies, talismans of great power that gathered belief and energy from the actions and prayers of human beings. Each talisman's power was supposed to be given back to humanity so they could continue to participate in the aspects of society that the Mi represent. And one of Enki's duties was to oversee the just distribution of that power. Given his duty, he had denied Inanna her request, but as she was his daughter, agreed to sit and drink with her. As happens with many fathers when they drink, Enki began telling tales of his past adventures, expounding upon his own ego.
You remember the time I fought Abzu and chained him below the earth?
Of course, Father! How could I forget? You saved the world that day!
Indeed! I save the world every day. But that day, oh, that fight was special.
It must have taken great power to fight Abzu.
It absolutely did.
Almost unparalleled power. Like the Divine Mies.
They certainly didn't hurt my chances.
Father, perhaps this is a bit grim, but I do not possess the Mies. What do you think will happen to me if some great monster were to rise up against my people or my city?
Great beast? Please, Inanna, your city is among the safest in the world, thanks in no small part to your own great power. No monster would be inclined to fight you.
And what if you're wrong?
I'm not wrong!
Isimud, pour us both another round!
Another round? Are you sure that's a good idea?
Our glasses are empty. The only good idea at this point would be to fill them back up.
For the first time tonight, I think we agree!
Father and daughter continued to converse, getting deeper into the cups the deeper into the night they went. However, Inanna herself had managed to keep a sober mind. She used her powers to remove the alcohol from her glass without her father or Isimud noticing.
Anyway, did I tell you about the time your mother saved my life?
Yes, you have. But I'm sure I'd be willing to listen to it again with more wine in my system.
We could always use more wine in our system. Isimud, pour me another.
Are you sure, Your Grace? You wouldn't want to pass out in front of your own daughter, would you?
My father can handle his liquor. If he wants more wine, it's not your job to question him.
Actually, I believe it is my duty to...
Pour me wine when I ask! Pour it, then be gone! I'm tired of hearing you complain!
Your Grace, I...
Pour it!
As you wish, Your Grace.
With Isimud driven away and her father deep in his cups, Inanna grew all the more excited. Now was her chance to claim the power she had come for.
Now, where was I?
You were telling me about the Mii's and what to be wary of while using them.
Was I? Why would I talk about that?
You had just reminded me how my mother used the Mii's to save you. Then you were going to warn me against their dangers.
Dangers? The dangers of using them?
Yes. Do you not remember, Father? You were going to let me take the Mii's so I can protect myself.
Right. You know, I normally would tell you no, and if you'd asked me 3 hours ago... Wait, did you ask me 3 hours ago?
No, Father. I just came to visit you.
Right! Well, had you asked me when you arrived, I would have told you no.
Really? But the world is so dangerous right now. You would send your own daughter away without protection?
My own daughter? Come, let's fix this now, before I fall asleep.
Here, let me help you.
Inanna helped her drunk father walk to the center of his temple, the Hall of Mii's, where the divine talismans absorbed the energy of concentrated human worship. The door opened to a glorious sight. Great beams of light streamed down from a vaulted ceiling, the lights shining on elaborate daises, each with a beautiful object resting on top. The daises looked like fonts, their light and power cascading to the floor. Inanna was awestruck by their beauty. The rush of power pulsing from the Mii was almost overwhelming.
Nobody would dare question you.
Father, I think it's time for you to rest.
Huh? Yes. That would be nice.
Inanna set her father onto the ground and walked into the room, looking at each and every Mii, relishing in their glory and power. She fully intended to take all of them, but first she wanted to find those that called out to her the most. Their power would be immediately accessible to her, as several spoke to her inner nature, external representations of her spirit. She reached into the font of magic and manifestation, pulling a glorious lapis lazuli necklace from its resting place on the dais inside. She did the same for the font of illumination, pulling out a pearl corset, the font of willpower, pulling out a canister of mascara, the font of emotion, pulling out a golden ring, the font of ego and vanity, pulling out a pair of golden girdles, and the font of sexuality, pulling out a stunning afternoon dress, more beautiful than any she had seen before. Inanna adorned herself with all the pretty jewelry, the divine Mii's, the holy talismans of the people. She felt their power coursing through her veins like a shot of adrenaline, pulsing her power to heights never before achieved. Her body itself began to glow with her power, and she knew she needed even more. She approached the central and largest font in the room, reaching for ultimate me, the me of godhood and connection to heaven. She reached into the streaming light of the font, pulling out the talisman. It took the shape of a tall golden crown, gleaming with brilliance. As she placed the crown upon her head, basking in its power, she heard a small explosion, followed by the roaring hiss of a fire.
Vile temptress, you deceive your own father and expect to leave alive!
She turned to see Isimud spraying flames out from the palm of his hand. She felt the heat for a split second before casting her own spell, a magic barrier to block the fire. She smiled, knowing Isimud could not hope to overpower her. But then she watched as Isimud raised his other hand, pulling a brilliant object out from one of the nearby fonts. She raised her eyebrows as the flames grew bigger. She held the fire back with her own magic, but could tell she was expending more energy than she had intended. she and Isimud could spend eternity grasping me and dueling with spells and sorcery, but she had no intention of being around when her father awoke to chide her for her actions. She focused her power and blew Isimud off his feet as she sprinted for the exit. Isimud shouted after her as she ran out of the building.
The mace cannot be stolen without consequence. You will pay for this, Inanna. You will pay!
Inanna smirked as she rushed out the door and boarded a boat, traveling as quickly as she could up the river to her home city of Uruk. As the cool night breeze blew against her skin, she basked in the glory and power of the mace. She had never before felt so alive. With unlimited power comes limitless arrogance, and we'll see how Inanna's arrogance leads to her downfall after this. And now back to the story. After stealing 7 holy mi from her father, Enki, god of wisdom and water, Inanna, most powerful goddess of love and sexuality, had increased her power 7-fold. She had traveled all the way back to her temple in her home city, reveling in the pulse and pound of her newfound strength. Using her power, she opened the door to her temple from a distance and strolled into the main room with style. She was quickly greeted by Ninshabur, her loyal friend and servant.
Your Grace, I have bad news.
Ninshabur, can you not see I've returned victorious from my expedition? I have the mees! With my power, bad news ceases to exist.
I certainly hope so. You see, your sister, Ereshkigal, Queen of the Underworld, has sworn vengeance against you. She blames you for the death of her husband and has told the whole world that you'll die the next time she sees you.
Ereshkigal thinks she can face me. If she wishes to spar, then so be it. Only this time, I shall choose the battleground.
Forgive me for saying so, Your Grace, but don't you think it unwise to fight with the goddess of death?
Not when I am the goddess of life. In fact, my power is so great, I feel more than confident that I could waltz directly into her throne room and take the underworld out of her grasp.
Your Grace, I really think you should stay home and ponder this some more.
If you're truly worried about me, then how about this? If I do not return from the underworld in 3 days' time, seek out help. Entreat the great gods and goddesses, Enlil, Nanna, and Aku.
What about your father?
Not my father. I don't think you'll be able to ask him for anything for a great long while.
But your father loves you. Why would he not?
That's beside the point. You won't need to ask anybody for help. My sister will be incapable of defeating me.
I hope you're right, Your Grace.
Of course I'm right.
Inanna walked past Ninshabur and laid down in her bed, resting for the night. She felt the power of the Mi coursing through her, and as her eyes shut, she knew she could conquer any challenge she chose to face. When Inanna awoke the next morning, she was vibrant and full of energy, eager to make her sister eat her words. She rode to the entrance of the underworld, a great gaping chasm in the ground, the smell of cold death wafting up from the darkness. Inanna grinned, confident that soon even this hole in the ground would be hers. Using her powers, Inanna levitated herself down into the chasm, her own radiance piercing through the darkness. The darkness that others found imposing fled at her presence, and the bland brown walls that hid in the shadows were plain and bare before her sight. Inanna touched the base of the cave and pressed forward, eventually coming to a great stone gate blocking her way. She grinned, and blasted forth with a rush of power, attempting to tear the stone down. Dust and wind swirled about her head, and she laughed as she pictured her sister's face when she saw her broken gate. But then she noticed something. She halted her assault, only to find that the gate was entirely unharmed.
What vile sorcery is this?
The stone of the gate began to shift and morph, bending and reaching out. From the chaos of unnatural movement, a small bearded man emerged, his eyes and skin the color of stone.
You witness the magic of the dead, and this is our gate. It has stood since the beginning of creation, and it will only open for those who are willing to pay the toll.
Do you not recognize me? I am Inanna, goddess of life and love. These gates should pay me a toll for the honor of my passing by.
Perhaps what you say is true, but the gate does not care. It will only open when fairly compensated.
What does a gate care for fairness? I will give what I will, and it will open at that.
Inanna had only brought with her the divine Mies. She thought about which would be the least useful to her in her coming battle, then stripped herself of her golden girdles, the talismans of her ego and vanity. As she tossed the girdles to the ground, she watched as the gate began to open. Despite having given up her talismans, she grinned, her ego only growing in their absence. She believed she had worn the Mi just long enough for its power to become a part of her, and nothing could stop her now.
Gatekeeper, tell my sister I'm on my way. Let her know I've come to pay respects to the great, deceased Gugulana.
As you wish, Your Grace.
Inanna watched as Nady vanished into the wall, and she continued through the open gates, eager to teach her sister that she could never think to kill Inanna. Yet as she continued into the cave, she came across a second gate, this one taller and more imposing than the last. She smirked. The last gate had not reduced her power, so this would fail to stop her as well. She removed her golden ring and dropped it to the ground, leaving the Me of emotion behind her as she pressed onwards. As she continued her descent into the earth, she came across four more gates and dropped a Me at each one. Strangely, she felt a little stronger with each Me she left, making her confident that as the gates opened, she was marching ever closer to claiming the throne of the living as well as the throne of the dead. Finally, she reached a seventh gate, this one hewn from the bones of giants, its ornamentation the skulls of conquered dead. She removed her final Me, the glimmering crown of godhood and the divine, and set it upon the ground. She stood stark naked, proud and tall, as she strode into the underworld, a mighty cavern beneath the earth echoing with the cries of the dead. She saw a great foreboding palace carved from obsidian, dark, terrible, and beautiful rising up in the distance, and she pressed onwards, only to stop when she saw Nady emerging from the stone below her feet.
Welcome to the underworld, Queen of the Living. Please, grow comfortable with your new home.
I'd hardly call this a home.
I must say, I'm a little disappointed that this home is not to your liking. Let me know what you would like to see improved, as I don't think you'll ever be leaving here again.
Is that a threat?
Threat? No. Those are simply the rules of the underworld.
Rules? I make the rules now!
Inanna held her hand up and attempted to blast Nady with her mighty and fearsome power, but nothing happened.
I'm afraid the living have no sway over the dead, Your Grace.
Inanna's eyes went wide as Nady snapped his fingers. She felt all the power she thought was stored within her body drain away. She turned to run, back to the gates, But her energy quickly drained as she dropped to the ground exhausted. She watched in absolute terror as Nady approached, a grin on his face. He grabbed Inanna and swung her up over his shoulders. He carried the powerless and pathetic Inanna all the way to the throne room where Ereshkigal sat, tall and imposing, glaring down at her sister.
You get my husband killed, then immediately seek to steal my throne?
Please, sister. I only came to pay respects.
We are twins, Inanna. I know you better than you know yourself. You came to claim my throne. Admit it!
Yes, but I was... But I...
But you've come unprepared. Then again, you've always been unprepared for death.
Death! I am life itself. You cannot kill me. The world itself will crumble if you do.
Your lies may work on those who think with their genitals, but I am not some worthless man who toils in the sun. I am Ereshkigal, Queen of the Dead, and I have deemed you unfit to live.
Ereshkigal got to her feet, standing tall and terrifying. She smiled as she walked forward, taking Inanna's hair in her hand, pulling her towards the throne.
I will give you your death through the throne itself, the very thing you came to claim.
Ereshkigal threw Inanna onto the throne, a great crimson seat made of frozen blood and the bones of broken souls.
Sister, please, I'm sorry.
Your words are like you, my sister. Unworthy and broken.
With Ereshkigal's last word, great grasping shadows emanated from the throne, clawing and tearing at Inanna's flesh. Her own blood coated the chair as her skin was stripped from her body. Soon, she screamed no more. Inanna, once great queen of life and love, was now dead, a sagging mass of flesh trapped beneath the earth. On the surface, the sun rose and fell three times, and Ninshabur, loyal servant of Inanna, realized that the worst had come to pass. She loaded a chariot of her own and set off into the horizon, determined to save her queen from the jaws of death itself. Thanks again for tuning in to Mythology. Next episode, we'll hear about Ninshabur's efforts to rescue Inanna and all the sacrifices that must be paid to reclaim a person from the land of the dead. If you enjoy Mythology, you'll love my other podcast, Tales. Tales presents fairy tales the way they were originally told, orally and unadulterated. Traditional fairy tales aren't exactly suitable for children, and every other Saturday, we dive into another dark, classic tale. You can find Tales, more episodes of Mythology, and all of Parcast's other shows on Spotify and wherever you listen to podcasts. Several of you have asked how to help Mythology. If you enjoy the show, the best way to help is to leave a 5-star review. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. We'll be back next week with another epic tale. Mythology is a Spotify original from Parcast. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Carrie Murphy, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Paul Mahler, and Maggie Admire. This episode of Mythology was written by Jorge Molina and produced by Freddie Beckley and Carly Madden. The amazing cast of voice actors includes Jerry Courtney Austin, Mike Capozzi, Susanna Corrington, Harris Markson, Samia Mounts, Cameron Nikad, Muneeb Rayman, and Laith Walshlegger. I'm Vanessa Richardson.